Well, hello. It's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us. I'm Louise Downs, and I work for the Lighthouse Project in the primary side of things, and Claire Oak is going to talk to you about the secondary stuff in a little while. But just while the children are here, I thought I'd start with a puppet sketch, because I often start primary assemblies with a puppet sketch, and so I thought I'd introduce my puppet Candy to you. We use puppets to talk about things that sometimes might be a bit hard to say directly. So anyway, have a look at this and see what you think. Lots of people, aren't there, Candy? Okay, well, I brought my friend Candy along today because the other day I bought myself a packet of Minstrels. And you know, I can't find them anywhere. I've asked my husband and my children and no one knows where they are. So I thought I'd ask Candy, see if she's seen them anywhere. So Candy, have you seen my packet of Minstrels? No, you haven't. Oh dear, are you sure? Well, I don't know where else to look now. Oh, Candy. Oh. That looks very much like my packet of Minstrels, Candy. You're very sorry you ate them. Candy, I can't believe it. Please, will I forgive you? Well, of course, I will forgive you, Candy, but, you know, I'm sad that you ate my Minstrels, because I was looking forward to them, and I was going to share them with you as well. But I'm really, really sad, Candy, that you didn't tell me the truth. Because when I asked you if you'd seen them, you said no, didn't you? Yes. Oh, you're very sorry you didn't tell the truth as well, are you? Excellent. Well, I'm glad about that. But you know, Candy, it is a really good idea to tell the truth. Because you're quite likely to be found out in the end anyway, aren't you? Yes. And, you know, if we don't tell the truth, then people can't trust us because they don't know if everything we say is going to be true or not, do they? No. So next time I ask you a question, what are you going to do? You're going to tell the truth, are you? Excellent. Good. Well, as I say to the children, I think maybe Candy's learnt her lesson. So could you whisper bye-bye, Candy, for me?
Okay. Basically, Louise and I have the privilege of working in the Lighthouse Projects. And as already been said, Louise works in the primary school, which is roughly children come in at the age of 4 and they leave at the age of sort of 10 to 11 when they go to secondary school, and Louise will do various different things, which she'll have the chance to say a bit more to you later. And I work in the secondaries, which is roughly when they're 11, right and through their 18. So sometimes we get to work with sixth formers, which is also great as well, and I'm going to talk about that a bit more later. But one of the main reasons that we do what we do is actually, you know, to be able to allow young people to have the opportunity to find out who Jesus is, what Christians really do believe, rather than them just learning in a lesson from a textbook that this is what the Christian religion believe, actually from people that live it each day and have the opportunity to really share with the children. And I just want to share one sort of statistic with you. I know that there's some figures, people out there amongst you, which might interest you. But in 1904, it was said that regular attendance, now the definition of regular in 1904 was every week, the attendance of young people under the age of 16, does anyone want to have a guess at what percent potentially attended church each week?
75. You're
were all quite generous. The figures they had in 1904 was 56% of young people would attend church every single week. Now we're in the year 2013, and not only has the number changed, but the definition of regular has changed as well, okay? So the definition of regular means at least once a month. All right, so have a think about it. How many do you think now between the ages of 0 to 16 actually regularly attend church? Okay, it is actually 4%. 4%. So 4% of children under the age of 0 to 16 attend church once a month. But 99% of children attend school. And so school is the place to be able to go and tell them about Jesus. And that is reflected in the churches that Louise and I go to visit, that actually there aren't actually a lot of young people in church. There are some young people, but we're not actually seeing a lot. So, example, here it's probably about apt that about 4% of you are young people. We're not seeing 50% of you being young people. And so that is very much reflected in churches. And so that's why we do what we do.
Thank you. When I go to primary schools, we mainly do assemblies and lunchtime clubs at the moment. Occasionally we have done RE lessons when we were asked to do that as well on specific topics. But I thought I'd just share my all-time favourite assembly with you, or a little bit of it. We often use British Sign Language because that helps the older children to be happy to join in with the actions, and also it's quite a good thing to help them think about people who can't hear and things. So yeah, this is called Hands, and it's got lots of British Sign Language in it. So I'm going to put some gloves on so you can see my hands better. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made people. And he gave them hands. Hands to create. Hands to love. Hands to give. Hands to help. Hands to protect. But we know, and the Bible says, that sometimes hands made to create are used to destroy. Sometimes hands made to love are used to hate. Sometimes hands made to give are used to snatch. Sometimes hands made to help are used to ignore. Sometimes hands made to protect are used to attack. But God sent Jesus into the world, and he held out his hands, offering us a way to be friends with God forever. But some people didn't like some of the things that Jesus said and some of the things that Jesus did. And so they took his hands and they nailed them to a tree. And they left him there to die. He did that to take away the wrong things that we do so that we can be friends with God. But the Bible says he didn't stay dead. On the third day he came back to life again. And he still holds out his hands to each one of us, offering us a way to be friends with God forever. Thank you. Thank you. I hope that gives you a flavour of some of the things that we do, and I hope you can see why I like that one particularly. I always try to say during assemblies and clubs that God loves everyone who's there and that they're all special to him, and I preach the gospel as much as I can. And in a school context, you can't ask the kids to make a decision, but you can just leave their thoughts there with them. And in clubs, we tell Bible stories, and we have lots of fun. We sing action songs, and we do some craft. I brought along a few crafts that we've made recently to give you a flavour. We made a sheep. So we talk about the lost sheep. And on the back it says, Jesus is the good shepherd. I like to give them a verse often to take away on the things that they've made. And last week we made chatterboxes, where you put your fingers in. I don't know if you remember them from school days. And inside there's things that says, Jesus gives us the best kind of life there is. And we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And things like that, we put in those. And then we talked about Noah and how God always keeps his promises. And the favourite craft I have to show you. This is called the helicopter. I don't know if you can see. And on that we put, Jesus cares for me. So that gives them something to take home. And we also get a chance to pray in assemblies and in clubs. We give the children the opportunity to join in with our men, telling them that just means that they agree with what we say. So we're not forcing them to pray, but giving them that opportunity. And in clubs, they can also write a prayer if they want to as well. I just thought I'd share a couple of stories of things that have happened to give you an idea that of what goes on as well. There was one year where a little boy started coming to a club at the beginning of the year, and he said, oh, I don't know why I'm here. I don't believe in God. And we said, well, it's great to have you. You're very welcome to be here. And by the end of the year, he was telling us how much he loved Jesus. So that was really special. And they often say things in their prayers that show us that they were actually listening to what we said, even though they might have been colouring away or not looking like they were paying that much attention. And we talk a lot about being friends with God. And there was a prayer recently where someone said, please help me to always be friends with God. And we said a great big amen to that when we read it afterwards. So, and also I visited a church recently, and there were some children who I'd met in club who were regularly attending that church. And that was really good to see as well. And they were happy to be part of whatever was going on. And I want to say thank you to all of you for all the prayers that you send up on our behalf. It's much appreciated, in your finance as well. And there are also some people who volunteer to help us as well here. There's Gunilla, do you want to come and just say a quick hello? And Viv as well, you know. And Moretta has done some craft cutting out for us. I think she might have gone now. Yeah, Gunilla helped when we did a club at Broadfield East Junior School, and now she helps at Gossip Screen Club on a Tuesday. And Viv helps in the secondaries, and she's just started helping me in primary assemblies as well. So that's very exciting. Thank you very much.
I know, I've probably said it before, but when the Lighthouse Project goes in, they just have open doors to preach the gospel in a way that you just wouldn't think was possible. In current, you know, with all the political correctness, we did For God So Loved the World. I've got my song here actually, because it was in my guitar when I was in Bewbush the other. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that great? You're singing that to a whole bunch of, well, from four or whatever the youngest ones there were, right up to year six, so 11 years old. And you're telling them God loves them, and they can know Jesus, and life is worth living. It's a fantastic opportunity. And when the assembly is, you've got hundreds of kids, possibly. I'd encourage you to pray, to give, to think about your time, because there's all sorts of opportunities. There's weekly opportunities and half-termly opportunities, you know, once every 6 weeks going into a school to do an assembly, or commit to pray for one school when the assembly is going to happen there. That's once every 6 weeks. You're not taking on too much, but they're really good open doors.
Thank you. Okay, so in secondary schools, you're dealing with teenagers. but it's really great because we see a lot of teenagers come to the clubs, really enthusiastic. They want to be there. And we, at the moment, have got a lunch club in Holy Trinity. Now, Holy Trinity is a church school, but what we find is we get the young people that wouldn't necessarily go to the Christian Union because they wouldn't put themselves in that box. A lot of them have stopped going to church. They've grown up going to church, maybe with their parents. They come to teenage years. They're asking questions. maybe there's some questions actually they're afraid to admit that they've got. And so our Quest Club at Holy Trinity is a brilliant opportunity sometimes to talk about a lot of things, a lot of disillusioned teenagers, a lot of teenagers that have lost their way, that have had to kind of pretend that they just go along and believe what their parents believe, and they're finding for themselves a faith. Hazelwick School, it just always amazes me. That's where Viv comes and helps me out. And we've always got a really full club. Mixed ages, mixed boys and girls. There's always those that are first in the door, last ones out because they want to talk to us. And it is just, you leave there. Sometimes you get there and you're really tired and Viv runs in like goodness knows what, like, what was it, Roadrunner, the cartoon. She comes in, she puts on a T-shirt and she's there, she's landed. And it's kind of like that for all of us sometimes. But do you know what? You leave that place just... It's just been such a wholesome, healthy, joyous, peaceful time. That God is so with us. The atmosphere is just brilliant. And a lot of times we end in prayer and we ask them if they want prayer for anything. And we go around this big circle of teenagers and they ask us for prayers for exams, ill relatives, parents arguing, pets that they've got to get rid of, people that have died, all kinds of things that they're asking us for. And many times, Viv will nod her head, many times we pray and you finish praying and there's just that sense that no one knows now quite what to do. Because God is with us. And where they've been really leery and they've been really noisy and they've been really unsettled, God just comes, doesn't he? And it's just amazing. I love it. So we do assemblies. Assemblies in secondary schools range from talking to 400 children. And you talk to them and they're all sat in their hall and you get the opportunity to just say it as it is. This is what a Christian believes. This is my personal experience of God. This is how he has changed my life. We have a time of reflection and then sometimes we also pray. And it's just amazing. It blows my mind because it's all about God. It's not really anything to do with me. It's all to do with God. And what I want to say to you is, do you know what? It doesn't matter how old or young or fashionable or whatever category you put yourself in, these young people these days, relationship and love is spelt T-I-M-E. That is what it is for our young people. They want time. They want people that are genuinely interested in them. And they will spot a person that's pretending a mile off. But if they know you're genuinely interested in them, it doesn't matter if you're 90, have got a wooden leg and, you know, no teeth, they will see through the fact that you genuinely care about them. So I want to show you two things that we do with our young people. So this is your church notice sheet, okay? So no one throw anything for me, but I'm about to vandalise it, Viv. So, you know, sorry. It's a good job as they're not all individually handwritten. Oh, is it Kevin? Okay. Okay, so this church notice sheet, you could say that coming to church or coming to Quest and praying once a week, you could say this is your ticket to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven. I pray every week, I come to church. However, is this going to get us to heaven?
No.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make it into a really sharp arrow. It could be a dangerous weapon to fend off any people that disagree with me. But do you think now this could get to heaven?
No.
Okay, well, let's get a bit up to where we are in the 21st century and make a supersonic rocket. Could that now get me to heaven? Okay, well, maybe my first arrow was a bit weak and, you know, we need to make something with reinforcements, a bit stronger, a bit more convincing. Will that now get me to heaven? You're a tough lot, aren't you? Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go into the future and I'm going to create something that will blow your minds. It is a state-of-the-art aircraft which beats all sound barriers in speed. And I'm going to create a supersonic aeroplane that's going to fly us right into outer space and to discover and get us to heaven. Will this get us to heaven?
No.
Oh, golly. Honestly, you're an unfair lot. Right, I'm going to have a tantrum now, and I'm going to make some modifications, and there you go. You can have that back. Will that get us to heaven?
No.
But I've modified it. I've changed it. No. Oh, golly. You are a tough lot. Okay, well, I'm just going to go back to the old-fashioned way. Forget all the state-of-the-art stuff, okay? I'm just going to make a little arrow, and I'm just going to point. Will that get us to heaven?
No.
Okay. How about this? You see, actually, Christians believe that it doesn't matter what we do in the way of our efforts, that it's through Jesus Christ coming from heaven to earth, giving up all his rights of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and coming to heaven, coming to earth, living like one of us, but dying a painful death that no one deserved to die on. And you know, sometimes we say things aren't fair. But I believe that Christians believe in a God that actually understands us. He gets us. Because he died a criminal's death. And therefore, it wasn't fair that he died. And some of us are put in situations where we feel helpless and bad stuff happens to us and we feel like we can't do anything about it. We feel like maybe our name is rubbed in the mud. We feel like maybe people are taking the mick out of us and rubbishing us. Or maybe we've got beaten up. Or maybe we've got hurt in some shape or another. But do you know what? Christians believe and know that Jesus was not nailed to the cross in robes of any splendour. But he actually was naked for all to see. And was totally unable to cover his nakedness. And so Jesus knows what it's like to actually be put in situations where he is helpless to hide any form of embarrassment. So that's one of the things that we do. Has anyone here got a £10 note? No? Oh, Alicia, you are very rich. Alicia, can I have your £10 note? Is that okay? Very much. A £10 note. Who would like to go home with £10 today? None of you? Really? Oh, okay, some of you. You'd like to go home with £10. Okay, £10 note. Would you like it now? Okay. Would you like it now?
Yeah,
yeah, why not? Would you like it now? Hopefully I managed to clean the dog poo off my shoes sufficiently earlier. But would anyone like it now? Do you know what? Bad stuff happens. Bad stuff happens. It's 100% guaranteed that each and every one of us will encounter bad stuff. And that actually we will become damaged by things people say to us, situations we find ourselves in, we become damaged. I believe in a God that values us as individuals, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by a loving God, and that actually we may encounter bad stuff, but this £10 now is still worth £10. I can still hand this over the counter of a shop. It's still £10. Your opinion of whether you want it or not may have changed. It may be wrecked and ruined, but it's still worth the same. And when bad stuff happens to us, it does not make us worthless. But I'll tell you something else. Alicia, I'm going to do you a deal, okay? I'm going to do what I believe God does to us. I'm not going to give you this £10 note back. you're not going to have it back. You could have a brand new £10 note back. However, I believe that God is even more generous than that. And I tell you what, you can have a brand new £20 note back. Come and get it. Because actually, I believe that he doesn't just restore us and renew us, but actually, we are even more valuable than we perceive ourselves to be. You can't put a figure on your value. And God restores us. He accepts our brokenness. He accepts the bad stuff that's happened to us. Renews us and restores us. Sets our feet on a rock. And does amazing things in our lives. Because the Bible says he has plans for us. Hope for a future. Not that will harm us, but that will do us good. These are some things that you might expect to hear in church. But as Viv said, these are the things, no lie, that we get the opportunity to say to hundreds of young people every single week. And it is nothing short of an absolute privilege and a miracle that we can do it. And sometimes I speak to people in other towns, in other places, and you need to know that Crawley's really privileged. Because it's not in every town that there's the opportunity to go into schools like we get the opportunity to go into schools. And some of the young people, they all pray for different things and do different things. But one young lad that sticks in my mind came to a club and he just said, "Do you know what, miss? Life is a roller coaster." And I said, "Yeah, it is a roller coaster, but Jesus is the bar that comes across and holds us in. And it doesn't matter if we go up and down, upside down, to the left or to the right, or wherever we get thrown, Jesus is the one that sets us on solid ground and gives us the strength to keep going." And so be blessed to be part of a town where their God has given us so many open doors. And if you want to get involved, as Viva said, in any way, then come and speak to us afterwards. You're involved because you're in Crawley. And you're involved because you walk past schools and you see young people and you say hello to them and you smile at them. Please do smile at young people. Please do smile at teenagers. Okay? Let's express God's love to them.
Yeah, I just want to tell you where we are now with Lighthouse, really. From the 1st of April this year, we are going to become a charity in our own right. So it doesn't make sense to be specifically linked to the Vine, although they'll still continue to support us. And so we have now 7 trustees. Could we have a list of trustees? Your own Ian Johnson being among them. And I think these are all great men and women of God, and we're very privileged to have them coming to lead us through the next phase. So they've all got different talents and abilities, and they all come from different churches as well. Rosemary Benwell is the chair. She currently works at Holy Trinity in Tilgate. Ian Hancock is the treasurer. He goes to the Vine Christian Fellowship. Sue Lindridge volunteers with Claire, as you saw on the ICC screen, and she's also the secretary of Lighthouse going into the future. James Crawford is the pastor of Christchurch, formerly Gateway. And Richard Poole is the pastor of St Andrews, where I go to church. And Ian Johnson, you know. And Gerard Voot also goes to St Andrews Church. So you can see a broad spectrum of people with lots of different talents and abilities to help us move forward. So it's a very exciting time for Lighthouse. And yeah, we recently had a meeting where all the volunteers and trustees got together and we prayed for each other. And Ian, would you like to come and just say a couple of words about some of what's going on as well?
I think it's quite an amazing thing to be. It's a privilege, really is a privilege and honour to be a part of this work. I felt that originally I was getting a bit stitched up by Viv, really, because she said, "Oh, you should come to this meeting." But it was really the Holy Spirit work. It's interesting how all the trustees kind of felt the same way. In a sense, it was really, they all came along saying, "We don't want this work to go down, but I'm not sure whether." And then the day came when it was the day of reckoning. are you prepared to put your hand up and say you're going to do it? And we went around the room, and the way that the Lord had spoken to people and placed people with specific gifts to do specific things. Because I said, well, I know you all know I was an accountant, but I have no interest in being the treasurer, but I'm quite happy to take on HR and personnel and things like that. And Ian Hancock went, oh, just breathed a sigh of relief, because he was the treasurer, and he didn't feel like he wanted to be possessive about it, but he was quite happy to carry on. I thought, wow, what a relief, he'll be the treasurer. But these are really godly people. Rosie Benwell is so special. I've known her a very, very long time. I mean, she's been a headmistress of a school. I mean, she's just brilliant in that role of chair. But how the roles slotted together, I mean, we had a meeting, and it was just like, well, who's going to do what? And I don't know how many people said to Rosie, well, you're the chair, you know. And then she went, okay, you know. But it just worked. And then in that first meeting that we had with the volunteers and the workers as well, the meeting opened, I think it was you, Claire, kind of walked in with this bit of paper and gave it to Ian, and he went, oh, wow. It was a cheque for £9,000. And we had to apply for charitable status. Now, that could be a bit of a trial. And we've decided to apply for a new kind of charity, one that's only existed since the beginning of this year. So hardly anybody's ever done this before. And Scripture Union, who really want a piece of this action, they want to be a part. Scripture Union want to be a part. This is really exciting. They really want to be a part. They're very excited about us being associated. And they said, we could help you through the charitable process, until they looked at the form and said, we've got no precedent for this. We haven't done this. We haven't got a model that does this. So Ian Hancock, bless him, kind of put things together and did it. And he put the application in. The next day, the emails came flooding back. I got one personally, but all the trustees got one. You now have charitable status. Here is your number. 24 hours. We had charitable status. We already had some money in the bank, but a £9,000 gift. We had a prayer time with one another. We had the Scripture Union standing in the sidelines going, rah, rah, go guys, go, this is really good. I mean, I can't tell you how important that is for us, for having policies in place and things like getting all of the personnel things, the CLB check, all those kind of things done. Brilliant to have an organisation like Scripture Union. Don't want to take over. They just want to be there and help. And you know that Scripture Union took a decision last year that when they'd come alongside a group like this, our group now, that they used to charge. They used to say, there's a fee, you want to be a part of this. And they said, no, we're not going to charge anything now. You come along. And they said to these guys, oh, you want to come on some training? We'll pay. It's residential. It's 3 days. We'll pay for you to come on the training. It's just like the provision of God, the favour, the goodness of God. And you know, our church have been involved with Lighthouse for a long time. They've been involved. We give, part of our giving, we still give, don't we, to Lighthouse. We give regularly, and that doesn't mean you can't give as individuals. I knew Dave Jordan way back when he worked at the Town Hall. And he influenced my life massively with his integrity, his love for God, and his willingness to share the gospel. And I saw him share the gospel with people at work, and I thought, well, if he could do it, I can. And I can tell you that the Town Hall is a different place today because of the legacy Dave left, and he wasn't there very long. But he used to just go around telling people about the love of God. And when he was leaving, they said, what are you leaving for? He says, I'm going to go and work in schools telling children about Jesus. And they all went, oh, good, that's nice. And from that man's heart, I want to honour him. From his vision and from his heart, we now have amazing people like Claire and Louise who are carrying on the work. And the Lord has now gifted us with a board of trustees that I'm just honoured and privileged to be a part of. They're just gifted people in the right place, and the Scripture Union coming alongside. And I think we're set for a future that isn't just where we are. There are lots more schools out there. There's lots more work could happen. There's lots more could go in all kinds of ways. And I believe the Lord wants to start pouring out an expansion to the work. And it's got to be him. It's got to be in his time, because we've got other people who come forward who will stand up and do the work. But I think it's just so exciting. This work had no intention of ending. I think when they had a meeting, I've forgotten when it was now, but towards the end of last year, when the Vine was saying, we'd better have a meeting of anybody who's interested in the town, any other churches are interested, because we're just going to fold the Lighthouse up come 31st of March because they can't continue with it. And that was packed. It was at Crawley Baptist, wasn't it? The meeting was packed of people who were saying, we don't want this to end. We don't want this to end. So there's a huge amount of goodwill. from the churches of Crawley, huge amount of goodwill from the schools that we're privileged to go into. There's children out there who desperately, desperately, desperately need to know the truth of the love of God in their lives. I can see it even in our own grandchildren, things like that, you know, that they need God in their lives. And this is a really honoured and wonderful time that we're in. And I'm just so privileged to be a part of it. So I encourage you to give when you can, pray all the time, pray without ceasing with thanksgiving, pray for the children, like you were just told, smile at them. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, when they've got their hoods up and you smile at them. It was a bit like our grandson the other day. All right. But it doesn't matter how they respond, show love back. Show love back. Anyway, that's all I need to say. I'll go on for hours, you know me. So back to me.
Thank you very much, Ian. There's just one last thing I wanted to say. Yeah, the next slide, thank you. Because Lighthouse is now becoming a charity in our own right, we're going to have a launch meeting on Thursday the 9th of May at Crawley Baptist Church at 8 o'clock. Proper invitations will come out in due course, but I thought while we're here, we just make you aware of that, and you'd all be very welcome to come along. Yes, I'm hoping it is. We haven't quite sorted a list of people, but yeah, certainly people who support us. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so that would be good. And I've got some newsletters if anyone wants to come and get one from us afterwards. And if you want to give us any of your details, we can send you next newsletters by email and things like that. Or, yeah, if you just want to come and chat, that would be great. Thank you.